Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Tongues Without Interpretation, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Tongues with interpretation is not an equivalent or equal to prophecy, or the same thing as prophecy. For prophecy is when God speaks to the church to edify, to exhort, to comfort. Where tongues is addressed to God, the divine mysteries, the secrets, the beauty, the glory, as my spirit worships Him. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, when I come to you tonight to speak to you, I come speaking to you by revelation, by the word of knowledge, by the gift of prophecy, and by doctrine. If I stood up here the whole evening speaking in an unknown tongue, it would be a wasted evening for all of you. But by speaking to you by revelation and prophecy and word of knowledge and doctrine, you are all blessed and benefited. As we take the word of God and as we learn by it and as we grow by it in our relationship and walk with God. The speaking in tongues would only be meaningless sounds. And meaningless sounds, you don't know what to do with them. And so Paul said, there are things that don't have life that give out sound. Now, if I would go over and play the piano for you tonight, it would be meaningless to you. It would be meaningless sounds. If a gifted, accomplished pianist play, it could bless you. And so there are things like pipes, like harps, that give out sounds. But unless a person is really skilled, you know, if you just get a guitar and just hit the strings and let your fingers go wherever, you know, you don't hear any melody, you don't hear anything. It's just a jangle of noise. So tongues can be just a jangle of noise unless there is an interpretation of them. How do you know what song a person is playing, you see, if he's just making the noise on the instrument? You don't know what's being played. Or if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare himself for battle? Now, of course, in those days and even to the present day, they have certain bugle calls whereby they call people to wake up in the morning, they call people to come to breakfast, they call people to come for mail. They call people to assemble together. They call people to charge. They call people to retreat. And each one of these bugle sounds or bugle calls has a message. Da-da-da-da-da-da. In a charge. And it has a message. We understand the message. But if a guy just gets up there and starts blaring on the bugle, what are we supposed to do? Retreat, charge, or go to breakfast, you know. It's an uncertain sound. He's just making a noise. And you don't know how to respond to it. So tongues can be meaningless. You don't know how to respond to it. You don't know how to react to it. So likewise, unless you utter by the tongues, or by your tongue, words that are easy to be understood, how are people going to know what you say? So just to get up and speak in tongues to people is worthless. It doesn't prepare them for anything. They don't know how to respond to it unless you speak in words they can understand, bringing the simple truths. Otherwise, it's just like speaking into the air. Now, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without significance. It may be that you're saying something extremely significant, but who knows? You may be saying something rather dumb. Therefore, if I don't know the meaning of the voice, coming into foreign languages sometimes is a very interesting experience, because you may do something that's dumb in their culture and they start screaming at you and yelling at you in their language. And oftentimes I'm glad I don't understand it. I don't know how to respond, but I'm glad I don't understand what they're saying. Therefore, if I don't know the meaning of the voice, I'm like a foreigner to the one who is speaking. Even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek for those gifts that you might excel in, those gifts that will edify the whole church. Therefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, have the gift of interpretation, so that should he exercise that gift of tongues in the church, he would also be able to edify the whole church by bringing an interpretation. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm saying. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Paul is just declaring, there are times in my devotions that I'll pray in tongues. There are times in my devotions that I'll pray in Greek or in Hebrew, the language I know. There are times when I'll sing in tongues. There are times when I'll sing in the language that I know. Else, when you shall bless with the Spirit, that is in tongues, how shall he that is occupying the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks if he doesn't understand what you're saying? For you indeed are giving thanks well, but the rest of them are not edified. And now Paul inserts this, lest you get the wrong impression of what he's trying to say. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than all of you. Now Paul has told us already that he doesn't do it in church. He had rather in church speak 5 words in a known tongue than 10,000 in unknown. Therefore, if he speaks in tongues more than all of them, it is obvious that he does so in his own personal private devotions in his closet. And I do believe that if a person has the gift of tongues, that the proper place to exercise that gift is in their own personal private devotions, as by the Spirit they worship God with the assistance of the Spirit, declaring to God their love, his glory, his goodness, his power, his greatness. So, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you, yet in church, I'd rather speak just 5 words that people can understand, that I might be able to teach them, than 10,000 words that they don't understand. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but not in understanding. Be men. So we should seek to understand things, not to be as children. Only as far as malice, we should be as children as far as the malice is concerned. But in understanding, seek to really understand, seek to really know. Now in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Now in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, in the law, Moses was warning the people of Israel at the end of his ministry how that because of their turning their backs on God, their enemies were going to come in and overthrow them. And they would be hearing in their own streets other languages being spoken as God's judgment was upon them for their turning their backs on Him. And so the hearing of these other tongues was really a sign of the judgment of God because they had turned their backs upon God. Paul, it seems, was referring to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, because he said in the law it is written, but also in Isaiah, in the prophet, it is also written in the 28th chapter that with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. But for all of this, they will not hear. Now, this is in the context where they were making fun of Isaiah's ministry. They said, who is he going to teach? He ought to go back and teach kindergarten. For he is so simple and basic. His teaching is line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And they were making fun of his teaching methods. And then he said, but with other tongue, or with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak unto this people. And this is the rest whereby he will cause the weary to rest. Yet for all of this they will not hear. So Paul's evidently putting together both of these passages of scriptures. With men of other tongues will God speak. As they hear these foreign languages of these soldiers from the alien armies as they have been captured. Deuteronomy 28. And yet for all of that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Taking Isaiah's. In other words, even with this judgment, and of course going back to Deuteronomy, the judgment did not turn the people to God. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So the tongues, an interesting passage, are a sign for those that believe not. Now herein is a very difficult passage of Scripture, because it would appear that the very next verse completely contradicts this. We do find on the day of Pentecost that tongues did serve as a sign for those that believed not. For on the day of Pentecost, when these devout Jews were drawn by the phenomena, they heard them speaking in the various languages, though they were all of them from Galilee region. Languages from all over the world, using these languages to praise God and to glorify the Lord. And as Peter then explained to them the phenomena that they were observing, giving them the scriptural basis, when Peter was finished with his message and the Holy Spirit had convicted their hearts, they said, "What shall we do since we've crucified the Lord of glory?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and your children, those that are far off." And approximately 2,000 of them believed and were added to the body of Christ that day, the birth of the church. Now, they were drawn by the phenomena. They were convinced by the phenomena of speaking in tongues. And it was a sign there to the unbelievers. And they were converted to Jesus Christ as the result of the phenomena that they observed. Whereas prophecy is more directed to those that believe, to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort, to edify. Now, in the next verse, it seems that Paul totally reverses his position. "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you're crazy?" Now, is Paul totally reversing his position? No, he's giving here a hypothetical case. Probably was happening in Corinth. When the church would gather together, they'd all stand up and just start speaking in tongues. Now, if I went to a church and everybody in the church got up and started speaking in tongues, I'd say, "Hey, they're crazy. Don't understand what's going on." If I were an unbeliever. If there is to be tongues in the church, they are to be governed by the rules that Paul set forth here. Verse 27, "If a man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be two, or at the most three, and that in turn, and let one interpret." Now, if the whole church is gathered together and there are unbelievers present, the exercise of the gift of tongues by the whole church would draw the conclusion that they're crazy. It would not be a sign to the unbeliever at all, except a sign that you're all crazy. However, if there is to be the exercise of tongues, definitely it would appear that Paul is discouraging it in the church. I personally, Paul says, wouldn't do it in church. I do it in my own devotions. If it is done in church, then definitely it is and should be limited. Two or three at the most, that in turn, and one person should interpret. Now, further restrictions. If there is no one there with the gift of interpretation, then keep silent and speak unto yourself and to God. I totally discount the person who gets up and speaks in tongues and says, "God made me do it. I couldn't help myself." Paul here does declare that you do have control over it, and that if there is no interpreter and you feel this urge and this anointing, just speak to yourself and speak to God. It could be, as God's word is going forth, the Spirit of God is touching your heart and you're blessed. And many people only know how to respond to God's touch upon their heart by speaking in tongues. And if that be the case and you're being blessed and you want to just praise God for what you're gaining and learning, then just do it to yourself and to God. There are times when the church gathers together, not the whole body, but in parts. Little prayer groups, little prayer cells. Then I think that there are other rules that apply. And I think that there can be a greater freedom in the use of tongues in those smaller groups. But when the whole church is gathered together, unbelievers present, then there are definite rules that apply. Now, here at Calvary Chapel, because of the size, when the whole church is gathered together, for a person to get up and speak in tongues would be confusing. And therefore, we do not allow it in our public services to save confusion. Number one, we don't know all of the people who might want to stand up. The other Sunday night, we had some real winners over here. I was expecting one of them to get up and speak in tongues, really. Unfortunately, they spoke language that we did understand, which wasn't edifying. But there are people who have psychological problems who are drawn to Pentecostal type services, and they use the freedom of the platform within the Pentecostal services to satisfy a psychological need in their own lives. And inasmuch as we exercise the gift of prophecy and word of knowledge and word of wisdom as we are teaching the word, it would not be consistent for the Holy Spirit to interrupt himself with utterances in tongues, with interpretations. As I say, we do have the prayer groups, the cell groups, and all, where there is a freer exercise of this particular gift with interpretation. And it is valuable. And we don't invalidate it. We recognize it as a valid work and gift of God, but not in the whole assembly of the church when the whole church is gathered together and unbelievers present. Then we put the brakes on it.
Discover the Word for Today Bible, featuring Pastor Chuck Smith's insightful commentary and notes that bring the scriptures to life with simple, powerful understanding. This Bible includes an exhaustive concordance, cross-references, in-text and color maps, and the words of Christ in red, all designed to help you dive deeper into God's Word. And in the softcover and hardcover edition, you'll also receive Chuck Smith's inspiring book, How Can a Man Be Born Again? The perfect guide for new believers seeking to grow in their faith. It's our prayer that as you read the Word for Today Bible, Chuck's commentaries will help God's Word come alive in your heart, drawing you closer to the Lord and stirring a passionate desire to serve Him. Want to learn more or read a preview? Visit twft.com or call 800-272-9673 to order your Word for Today Bible today. The Word for Today Bible, helping you understand God's Word simply and clearly.
May the Lord bring you into a special consciousness of His presence, of His love, of His interest in your life. And may you walk in the consciousness of God's grace and be led by His Spirit. May you come into a new relationship with God. A very personal relationship with God. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 14. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.